We're going to put you through a little Bible drill tonight. Turn with me to Exodus 28, and also, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We've often said that Scripture itself is the best commentary on Scripture. That is so true. So if you would, maybe stick your marker or keep your thumb or finger somewhere there and in Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll bounce back from Exodus 28 to Hebrews 5 tonight. I'll give you a moment to get both of those, and then we'll look at the first two verses of Exodus chapter 28, talking about the priesthood tonight. Studying for this was a real blessing to me. I hope that God gives me the grace and the ability to convey to you what has been so encouraging to me in studying it. If you'll look at verse 1 in Exodus 28 with me, it's God here speaks to Moses, and he says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." Now, I went ahead and wrote down, I thought it very interesting to tell you what each of those names mean. So I just jotted them down here quickly. I won't elaborate on it, but the name Aaron means very high or high mountain. Nadab means willing. Abihu means my father is he. Eleazar means help of God. And Ithamar means land of the palm, or lofty in righteousness, bringing forth fruit in the desert. Those names all are very appropriate for the priest of God. And verse 2 says, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, we read in verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who," that's speaking of the priest, "who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins." Right off the bat here, we see that the priest of God, the same as God's preachers, along with every other man and woman in this world, born of Adam, are nothing but sinners. They have to be redeemed. They have to be cleansed by the blood of Christ, and given Christ perfect righteousness, the same as every other sinner, in order to have their sin put away. There's no exclusion. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. We know that. God's grace is seen in the choice here that God makes. The Lord said to Moses, we read it there in Exodus, "Take Aaron thy brother and his sons." And it was not Moses that was chosen for this honor, but Aaron, some commentators called him the lesser brother, but I would say more the behind the scenes brother. He was with Moses from pretty much the beginning when Moses went to Pharaoh. But here it's very obvious that he was chosen of God for this office of high priest. Even the tribe of which Aaron and his son belonged to, the Levites, was one of the least honorable among the 12 tribes. I find it very interesting that when God told Moses about his choice of Aaron as the high priest, was during the very time that Aaron was making the golden calf for Israel's idolatrous worship of it. You say, does that mar the picture and the type here of the priesthood in any way? Absolutely not. It simply reveals to us that the giving of the high priest was a gift of God's marvelous grace, not something earned, not something merited. here in Hebrews 5, verse 4, it says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself." No man puts himself in the priesthood. It's just the same as no man puts himself in the ministry, not a true minister of God. Now, I know a lot of men that have been called by grandma and mom and dad, but not by God. But a true preacher of God, a true minister of God, is called by God and put into the ministry by God. But it says here, "No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he, God, that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him." Now that's speaking of the Lord, particularly as to what Christ endured in Gethsemane's garden. He says that was able to save him from death. His prayers, his tears, and the sweating as it was, great drops of blood. You remember that? It kept him from dying from his anguish and was heard in that he feared, he reverenced his Father. "And though he," Christ, verse 8, "were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Now, you know and I know there are many religious groups and organizations today who still hold to an earthly priesthood, Catholic for one. This actually, and I'm not trying to be ugly, it's just true, it exposes men and women's ignorance of the scriptures and their lack of knowledge in the accomplishment of Christ. A believer doesn't need a priest. If they have Christ, Christ is their priest. Now turn over a page or two to Hebrews chapter 9 and look at verse 10 with me. It talks about the earthly priesthood after the tabernacle and the Mosaic pattern, and they're called carnal or fleshly ordinances. And then it says that they could not make them that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Verse 11 reveals, "But Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come," verse 11, "by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, came into the world and he fulfilled it. Everything pictured in the Mosaic priesthood and perfectly finished his high priestly work in his life, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And it was then that our Lord ascended unto heaven and he sat down on the right hand of God. We know what that means. That means his work was finished. We sit down when we're finished with our work. And he sat down at the right hand of God forever making intercession for us, his people, as our great high priest. And this is so crucial for us to understand for this reason. If you and I, the sinners that we are given life to come to God, and it's going to take life for us to even come. No man can come because they're dead in trespasses and sin. But if we are given life to come to God, the Father, it will be through Christ, our high priest. No other way. The Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father." But how? But by me. And if we're given this life to come to God through Christ, our great high priest, it'll be him alone that represents us in the presence of a thrice holy God. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, we're told that no man takes this honor unto himself. We just read that. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron, verse 5, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." So the point I'm endeavoring to make here is that it's God who ordained And it's God who separated, and it's God who chose his high priest and priest. Men didn't choose who would be the high priest, nor did the high priest choose that honor as a vocation. Being a high priest is not like a young man deciding in his youth to one day be a lawyer or a doctor. It wasn't a career choice. The high priest was ordained to this office by God himself. And that's exactly what we read there in Exodus 28, verse 1. Again, turn back there if you would. I told you it's going to work you out on this. God says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's son." Now, we see that no man takes that honor unto himself. And our Lord, in response to the Jews, asking him if he thought he was greater than Abraham. You remember that? In John chapter 8, verse 54, the Lord said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." In John chapter 7, verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, "He that speaks of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of the one that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." So that's why God gets all the glory in everything that he does. Our salvation, the matter of salvation, God gets all the glory. For it was God who chose and ordained and called every saved, elect child of God according to his will, his counsel, and his purpose. And it's the same with this high priest. Matter of fact, every sinner saved by God's sovereign grace has been made a priest unto God. That's who Aaron's sons here typify and picture. And if God's own son did not take that honor into himself, then we can be sure that God didn't leave it up for us to do so either. And that's exactly what John meant when he wrote, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his son to what? Be a propitiation for our sins." Peter said this, he said, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him," now listen, "who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Remember, we've not chosen God, but he's chosen us, John 15:16. You remember King Uzziah? King Uzziah found that out the hard way. You remember that story? When King Uzziah was lifted up in his pride, he tried to bypass the high priest. You remember what happened to him? God killed him. God gave him leprosy, and he killed him. You see, the priest here in Exodus 28, as we see, were sons of the high priest. And it's very plain to see here that Aaron typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, and Aaron's sons typify every sinner saved by God's mercy and grace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, you don't have to turn there, but the Lord Jesus is called our everlasting Father. His name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, and he is wonderful, isn't he? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is a wonderful counselor, isn't he? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, Adam was our father, but he plunged us into sin and death. When he did, he ceased to be our father. And it was Christ our Lord, who saved his sons from that sin and death that Adam sold them under. In our first father, Adam, we died. But in Christ, our everlasting Father, we're made alive. And Christ remains our everlasting Father. You know, I was thinking about that today. I know that can be confusing to folks. They say, well, Christ is the Son of God or God the Son, but he's also the everlasting Father. Such is Christ's union with God. And the Godhead is so one that even though the three persons of the Godhead are uniquely individual, they're also uniquely one. Christ is God the Son, but also the everlasting Father. And I don't understand that. but I believe it. Because the scripture here in Isaiah calls Christ the everlasting Father. But here's the beautiful thing. Our union with Christ is so that we're uniquely one with Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called what? The sons of God. We're sons and daughters of God because of Christ and our union with Him. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it didn't know Him, knew Him not. And Christ is not only our everlasting Father, but He's also our everlasting High Priest. We just read in Hebrews chapter 5, thou art a priest forever. How long? Forever. After the order of Melchizedek. Every earthly priest died by reason of sin. I don't know if you know this or not, but fleshly speaking, physically speaking, we're not going to get out of this alive. But Christ lives forever as our high priest. And because He is perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, perfectly just, He perfected the law forever for us, His people. The law has no claim on me because Christ fulfilled it for me. And by my union, my oneness with Him, God looks at me and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's just as if I fulfilled the law. No, it is that I fulfilled the law perfectly in Christ. He satisfied God's justice forever. God's justice can never charge me with breaking the law. For by one offering He hath perfected forever. How long? Forever. Them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10:14. And Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to what? Make intercession for us. He's making intercession for His people. Christ is the only high priest that can save. Why? Because He ever lives to make intercession for them that come to Him. And what a glorious subject this is. God's high priests are chosen from among men. That's the first thing I want you to see. And again, God said in verse 1, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. And again, Hebrews chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he might offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. God chose His high priest from among a particular people. Now Aaron was called from among the children of Israel. And Christ was chosen from among Abraham's seed. And that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 tells us. It says, for verily He, speaking of Christ, took not on Him the nature of angels, but took on Him what? The seed of Abraham. Why did God choose Christ from among men to be our high priest? You ever thought about that? It was to represent His people to God. You see, a man had to die for men. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Our Lord was born sinless. Only Christ could make the necessary offering and the necessary sacrifice to God for His people. Why? Because it must be perfect to be accepted. We can't give God that which God requires. God requires perfection. And that's what the Lord did when He laid down His life on the cross. He provided for us a perfect righteousness because He was sinless. He perfected the law on His elect's behalf. And only a perfect man could do that. He satisfied God's divine justice for us. Listen, only a perfect man could do that. We couldn't do it for ourselves. Now those for whom Christ died shall never die. Because of our union with Him and His substitution for us. And also the Lord Jesus was chosen from among men so that as our high priest, He can know something of our infirmities and comfort His people. Now our Lord was made a man and He was tempted in all points as His people, yet without sin. That's the difference. Big difference. He was without sin. Why was that so? So that He could personally experience just how weak and just how helpless the chosen sinner really is. On the cross, He was touched with every feeling that our sin causes, though he never himself sinned. Hebrews 4:15, you're right there, look at it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. How wonderful to know that Christ our high priest not only knows what we need, but knows how to comfort us. Hebrews 2:18, look at that. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor, that word means support, help, relieve them that are tempted. It's very important for us to understand that the high priest alone was the only one that could enter into the Holy of Holies to minister unto God for God's elect people. And again, in verse 1, God, speaking of Aaron, says that he, Aaron, may minister unto me in the priest's office. Listen, we cannot represent ourselves because of our sin. We cannot save ourselves by our own personal law-keeping. We cannot save ourselves by our good works, because all our works are filthy rags. We cannot save ourselves by our own will, because we will not come to Christ that we may have life. It's not our will to come by nature. We must be represented to God by Christ, our great high priest. God demands it. And that's what the Mosaic priesthood pictures. Someone had to go before God for us with the offering of blood. And that is Christ our Lord. Again, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto them that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Why did the Lord suffer? He suffered because he bore our sins. He had no sin of his own to suffer for. He suffered for our sin. That's what Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. How glorious is the thought that God Almighty, the very one that we've offended, the very one that all our sin is against. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, David said. How amazing, how glorious is it that the very God that we hated without a cause is the very one who died for us on Calvary's cross, who his own self bore our sins. It was our sins that put him on the cross. That should have been me that hung on that cross. That should have been you that hung there. And because of that, I hope that we can see here what Peter is saying. He was saying that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, unto Christ. Why? Because by his stripes we were healed. Those stripes, the thrashing of the whip, the cat of nine tails, that should have been me. That should have been my flesh that was ripped. It's by the stripes of Christ in our place that we were healed. And it was only the high priest who could enter into the Holy of Holies. He did it once in the year and not without blood. No, sir. You don't come to God without blood. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, no atonement, no forgiveness. Aaron, as Israel's high priest, did it representing God's particular people. He didn't represent the whole world. He represented the chosen people of God. And when Christ redeemed us, brothers and sisters, he entered not into God's presence with the blood of goats and calves, but he entered into God's presence with his own blood. Christ is our perfection. Christ is our acceptance with God. How are we accepted in Christ, the beloved? I never grow tired of hearing that, do you? You're in Hebrews, look at chapter 9. Look at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin, look at this, by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, I hope that God has shown you and truly shown me our need of Christ, our great high priest. He alone is the only one that can represent us to God. He's the only one that God could ever be pleased with. And lastly tonight, I want us to see the necessity of holy garments back in Exodus 28, verse 2, and I'll finish up. God told Moses, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty." You know, I was thinking about this afternoon. Moses in the scripture pictures the law. We know that. It's the law of God that shows us something of our sin and shows us something of Christ's perfect righteousness. The law was given to show us that we couldn't keep it. It was to reveal to us our sin, and the law was given to show us the standard of perfect righteousness, to show us what perfection truly is, and to bring us to Christ, who was perfectly righteous. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to show us the standard of perfect righteousness. So in that sense, God made the law, pictured by Moses, to make the holy garments of Christ, pictured by Aaron, the holy garments picturing the perfect righteousness of Christ. We'll get further into the attire of the high priest in our next study, the Lord willing, but I do want us to understand this. These garments were absolutely necessary. Without them, God would not receive the high priest, as we'll see, or the ones that he represented. And without the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, God will not accept us. Why? Well, we've said, how many times have we said? Because it has to be perfect to be accepted. And we cannot be what God requires. But Christ, our high priest, was. That's the only way we can be accepted, in, by, and through Christ's perfect righteousness. But I also want you to rejoice in this. Under the Mosaic priesthood, the priests were a special class appointed to minister to God on behalf of the people. They enjoyed privileges that were not shared by others in Israel. They had a nearness to God that others didn't share. They were given authority and they were allowed to do that which those whom they represented could not do. But at the cross, the cross of the Lord Jesus, a radical change was brought about. The old order ended and a new one began. Judaism stopped and Christianity began. In Matthew chapter 6, we're told that the high priest rent his clothes. Well, that was forbidden by the Levitical law. You can read that in Leviticus chapter 21. But God permitted this in the New Testament to show Israel that the Mosaic priesthood had ended. Clothes were only rent or torn to pieces when there was no further use for them. And something else for us to consider, that veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, that when the Lord gave up the ghost, remember it was rent in two? The veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, the barrier into God's presence no longer exists for God's people. And that's what the apostle meant when he said that we can come boldly into the throne of grace. By the substitution and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's elect people can now come boldly into God's presence to find mercy, obtain mercy, and find grace and help in time of need. Or do you have a need? Come boldly into God's throne of grace. Christ has given us access to God. Christ has done away with the veil by making us priests unto God. We can now come to God in and by and through the perfect and righteous work of Christ for us. After all, our great high priest sits on God's right hand and makes intercession for our every single need. Next time you have a need, you come boldly into God's throne of grace and you think about that. Who it is that's sitting right there who has God's ear. Oh, I tell you, friends, I'm in over my head on this, but this is the most glorious thing I've ever heard in my life. May God enable us to truly believe and rest in these things.